Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
If I can buy her some diamonds, but I like talking to Britney. She always fucking with me. I love Keisha, Pam, and Nikki. I love all y'all Disney. Getting money with Nicole. Go out to eat with Lisa. Movies with Teresa. Then I eat her up like pizza. I travel with Maria. Yeah, that's my mama Sita. I love Kiki, Cece, Tiffany. I love all y'all Disney. But you know I get real picky. I just had to cut off Whitney. Cause she kept asking for $50. So I hit her Marco Shada. She gon' fuck with me no matter what, just because she like when I wear the. I got CC on my line. I think she kinda fine. She only hit me up when she wanna wine and dine. Ooh, she's a caker. Her ass is fat like Nation. I squeak her like eraser. She got good hair with some braces. Niecy's so damn pissy, but I love the way she talks. She always in my ear saying, "Bail, you a boss." See, nothing's next to Tanya. She pay cause she's a cougar. But I like fucking Jasmine because Jasmine is a daughter. Ashley's so damn nasty. She erotic when we fuck. She always sending flicks of a pussy in the tub. She likes the way I thug. She always wanna hug. I know y'all feeling me, because I know y'all differently. Got an ass like Megan, made her ride me like a stallion. She said I'd be your friend if I can buy her some diamonds. But I like talking to Britney, she always fucking with me. I love Keisha, Pam, and Nikki. I love all y'all differently. Getting money with Nicole. Go out to eat with Lisa. Movies with Teresa. Then I eat her up like pizza. Travel with Maria. Yeah, that's my mama Sita. I love Kiki, Cece, Tiffany. I love all y'all differently. I couldn't explain a better way how I fuck with y'all. See, Keisha, she so ghetto, let her sell my drugs and all. She don't like wearing panties, her pussy sweet like candy. I make her sing like Brandy, and she roll my weed like Angie. Yeah, that's my little Jamaican. She fall through with that pack, but hate it when I call her Haitian. Then I hide that shit at Asians. I let her weigh it up. Becky is my baker, so I let her count my bucks. Amanda is my nurse, but Jamie is the doctor. She said I got a fever, guess I need some special treatment from Natasha. Natasha is my lawyer, Latoya's the employer. Kiana is a keeper, she know all of the right people. Keep me going, it's my credit with Rashida. Yeah, that's my little Boricua. She love red wrist on Reeboks and she bounce on me like seesaw. There's a lot I didn't get to mention. I just wanted y'all to know that I love y'all all so differently. I'ma let it show. She got an ass like Megan, made her ride me like a stallion. She said I'd be your friend if I can buy her some diamonds. But I like talking to Britney, she always fucking with me. I love Keisha, Pam, and Nikki. I love all y'all differently. Getting money with Nicole. Go out to eat with Lisa. Movies with Teresa. Then I eat her up like pizza. Travel with Maria. Yeah, that's my mama Sita. I love Kiki, Cece, Tiffany. I love all y'all differently.
Oh, yeah.
I love all y'all.
I love all y'all. Yep.
I love all y'all.
He said, I love all y'all differently. It's the Social Lab TM Hama Radio. What up? We up close tonight with our special guest, Mikey C. I always mess it up, but I'm not going to do it tonight. Mikey Sedano. He's the producer of a new... I was about to mess that up too. Amazon Prime movie, not Netflix. I had Netflix on the mind. But this is an Amazon Prime movie called Cycle. Listen, folks, one thing that you don't see a lot of is things about domestic violence. And we know domestic violence is real, specifically in our communities, right? This is a real interesting flick because it's a real-time, like, account of what happens in our families. I was able to see the trailer. The trailer prompted me to want to see more and ended up watching Psycho over the weekend. If you aren't doing anything right now, I need you to go to Amazon Prime and look for Cycle, C-Y-C-L-E. We're up close and personal tonight with Mikey Sedano, who's the producer of this Amazon Prime flick, and it's a good one. But first, all the way live from Columbia, South Carolina, she cooks it up every Wednesday right here in the Social Lab. Give it up. Fee.
Hey, how's it going? Everything is cool over here. Well, it's cold. Who turned the heat off?
Cold. Not cool.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's cold. Yes. Cold. Yes. How's it going?
Welcoming her back to the Social Lab. I'm coming to you live out of Omaha, Nebraska tonight, handling business out here in the Midwest. But she is all the way back in the hometown of ATL. Give it up. What up, Mama? Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
I have been anticipating these few seconds right here just so highly for the last few days. I'm very, very pleased and humbled to be back with my TM Hyman Radio family and on a night when we are welcoming Norfolk State's own Mikey Sedano to our show. So this is like twofold, a very, very happy occasion for me. Thank you, TM Hyman Radio family, for having me back. Let's do it.
And for folks who are like, mm-hmm. Norfolk State, you know, why do you care? You care because we care because
that's right.
We behold the green and gold up
the
in here.
The green and the gold in East Park, baby.
All day long. Alumni, indeed, we're happy to welcome not only an alumni to the show, but an alumni who's making moves. So without further ado, let's just jump right to it. Welcome to the show, brother Mikey Sedano. Hey, glad to have you, man. Thanks for stopping past.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Gina, too. We've been talking about this for a while.
We have.
Miguelito. I finally have a real Miguelito now. Now that I have a son, he's the real Miguelito.
Congratulations. Yes, he just had a son a few months ago, so congratulations to you on that.
Thank you.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely. And I have to say, we talked about timing, right? Apparently, you all talked about this during homecoming, which was a couple weeks ago. And so she immediately said, we got to do this. And so here we are. Bro, do me a favor and just introduce yourself. You just did, but introduce yourself to our audience by telling them a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Milciades M. Sedano Jr. And people call me Mikey or Indio. Grew up with that, with both of those names. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Parents Dominican.
Brooklyn?
Went to Norfolk State. Yeah, no doubt. Flappers. And graduated from Norfolk State University. And I'm living back here in Virginia Beach right now.
So, Cycle itself, how long did it take you to actually produce this project? You have a star-studded cast, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I mean, domestic violence is not something that we even like talking about, let alone showing it. I mean, how did you get into this creation with Cycle?
Well, it actually all started for me, this story, when I was in the second grade. I originally wrote a short story while I was in a school in New York City, and I entered a storytelling contest, and the name of the story was The Boy Without the Family, and it was about a little boy who watched his father kill his mom, beat his mom to death, and that story, you know, the Wow. Teachers loved it so much that they entered it into a contest. It was a New York City-wide contest, and I ended up being, you know, in this book of short stories that was published. This was, you know, in the 80s, late 70s. That's when it was late 70s, early 80s. And as I got older, you know, the story, might as well say, came into fruition in my personal life growing up in my household, and then in my personal marriage. And I decided to write about it so that I can help other people that are in a situation like this, whether it be the man or the woman, you know, the one who's getting abused or the abuser themselves. And, you know, I can get into more details, but that was basically the reason why I did it, is because, you know, living in that situation prompted me to write the story and eventually the movie.
And watching the movie, I'm not going to say it makes sense now, but it makes sense now because the characters are so complex, and the way that you dissect them for the audience, it makes sense now.
Well, it originally, like I said, you know, I wrote a short story in 2007, and it won several awards. It was a short film for about 30. It was about a 30-minute movie, and you know, I really wrote it. You know, I was in jail for a little while, and that's when I wrote the entire script. And then when I got out, I decided to write the script. So I got some money from my dad, and I was working in New York City at the time. I was working on the movie American Gangster and I Am Legend. So while I was working up there, you know, I got into the mood to write. Since I was working on movies, I said, you know, let me write my own movie. I've been trying for so long, and I wrote for other people. I said, you know, I need to write my story for myself. And I finished the script, shot the movie in Virginia, and like I said, I won several awards. And based off of the screening, while the movie was being shown, I got so many men coming up to me crying with tears in their eyes, literally telling me how much this movie touched them. And, you know, it really baffled me to see that. I expected the women to, you know, to cry. You know, it's a heartbreaking film, and it's very real. So it didn't surprise me. But when
really
I saw the
real
men crying, you know, when I saw men crying, that's when I said, wow, this is really, really deep. So, you know, people say, hey, you know, do you have this in a long version? And I said, no, I kind of just left it alone. And from that, I got a lot of speaking engagements. So I spoke in several colleges and different venues. And I became, you know, someone who would get called to speak on domestic violence. And I try to speak to people how to, where to get help. So, you know, that became a thing I did for a couple of years. And then a few years ago, you know, I had the interest of some investors who wanted this film to be a full feature. So I called my friend, my co-writer, Akeisha Roberts. She was the co-writer and my friend. She helped me with the full feature. I shot the movie here in 11 days, and I got the help of the city of Virginia Beach, Norfolk. You know, that they let me use their police officers, their police cars. I used the prison here in Chesapeake, Western Regional Jail. You know, I use the COs, the actual prisoners there, the inmates. So I have a lot of, you know, actual locations. And the stories that are in the film, they're all true stories. You know, the movie is basically based on several men who are in a class, taking a domestic violence class. And while they're taking this class, they watch a movie called Cycle. Now, the movie that they're watching, it entails four generations of a family that domestic violence ravaged that family. And while they're watching the movie, each of those men in that class, you kind of get a flashback of what they did that had them in the position where they have to take this class. So once the class is over, each man in that class, now they have to face reality, and we find out what happens to them after they take the class. Do they become better men? Or do they continue to be abusers like they have been living? So that's what this film shows. And I got these stories from the actual men in the class that I was taking. when I was in the class. So that's, you know how I got these individual stories of the men that are in this class that you see in the film.
It's
those are all true stories.
Stuff,
the pastor, yeah, the pastor, you know, the actual pastor, he's actually doing like 25 years now in, you know, in a state in Maryland. You know, that's a true story. All those stories there are true stories. You know, everything that happened there.
You said that men, grown men, came up to you crying. I think when from the time I saw the trailer, the trailer pulled me in. But when I actually, you know, had a chance to sit down over the weekend and check this out, it was so one, I didn't realize that these were true stories, but the stories were so real that it makes sense that they're true. I think for me, we see images of ourselves, right? Or we see images that give us flashbacks, whether, you know, it's our situation, whether it was our father and our mother, whether it was an aunt or an uncle, whether it was a neighbor, right? I think someone at some point can relate to physical abuse, domestic violence, and so you have a flashback if you don't see yourself. But one thing you said earlier, you said men and women, you mentioned men and women both go through domestic violence, whether they are the abuser or the one being abused. When I was watching this, I had thoughts of how many men are actually on the reverse side of the situation, right? How many men are being abused by women
on the receiving end
in the same type of situation, but we don't see that, right? I mean, just like we don't talk about domestic violence openly, there are a whole lot of men out here getting their asses beat by women, and they don't want to talk about that openly either. It goes both ways. Often we just think about the woman. But I mean, folks, this is a different day, and women are a different breed, right? And so I think this goes both ways often, and we just don't think about it.
Yeah. Now the statistics show that 1 in 4 women are abused, and the new term that they're using instead of domestic violence, people still use domestic violence. But they're using also the name intimate partner abuse. But the stats show that 1 in 4 women are get beat or abused, and 1 in I think it's 8 or 9 men get abused, and that's just from what's being reported, because a lot of times it goes unreported, just like gay domestic violence. A lot of gay men get beat all the time, and so you don't know what the actual true numbers are, because those numbers are also very alarming. But we don't know, because it goes unreported. Now, my film is basically, well, not basically, but it's mainly based on men who are abusers. But I show a scene, if you notice, the scene when Coco from SWV, when she's teaching a class of women abusers, women who are there, because they're abused, their partners, whether it be their boyfriend, significant other, or their parent, because there's a lot of elderly abuse as well. So if you notice in that scene, I mentioned that. I don't talk about it. I don't have those scenes in the movie where the elderly or men being abused, but I mention it in the classroom because I want to make sure that it's very well known and that I let people know that I'm very well aware of that, because I've gotten so many comments from men based off of the trailer saying, hey, well, what about men who get abused? And I tell them, sometimes I reply to the comments because there's so many. So the ones that I do catch when men say that, I say, look, you have to watch the movie, because you'll see that I do talk about men being abused as well. I just don't have those scenes, but in the movie I show that as well.
Yeah,
I mention it as
You mentioned Coco from SWV as one of your cast members, Cheryl, Coco Clemens. You also have Cheryl. Don Lewis, of why does the show
Tony Terry
me now?
Yeah, Tony Terry.
I'm trying to think.
Different World.
Yeah, Different World. Yeah, that's what I was trying to
different
say.
World?
The show. And then recording ours R&B artist Tony Terry is a part of your cast as well.
How
are you able to convince them to be a part of the project?
Well, for one, they're personal friends, and I don't know how public the information is, but personally, I know stuff that Dawn Lewis went through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of it is public information,
uh-huh.
but this was very personal to her. You know,
mm-hmm.
this film and that character was very personal to her. So she really didn't need much convincing. She just needed, you know, the time date that she had to show up on set.
Gotcha.
And Tony wanted to be in a film. You know, he does a lot of stage plays. You know, he's actually on a tour now, I believe. So he really wanted to do this film because it was personal to him as well, and he wanted to be in a film. He was a great supportive, support system with the film and getting
mm-hmm.
it together. So he wanted to jump on it. He wanted to jump on it. And they were very, very helpful.
On the East Coast, 6:21 in L.A., we're up close and personal tonight with our special guest, Mikey Sedano. He's the producer of the Amazon Prime flick Cycles. Folks, we need you to go to Amazon Prime and search for Cycle, C-Y-C-L-E, for those who are challenged. Cycle.
Yes. And if you have Prime, you get to watch it with your subscription. No additional cost, so there you go.
Correct.
We're going to pause and come right back. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. If you want to dial in, we're going to take some questions with our special guest. Here's Daniel Caesar and her best part. So,
life is a movie.
9:25 p.m. here in the Social Lab TM Hyman Radio Live. Your girl Hot Chocolate back here in the A, joined by TM Hyman, the General, and Fee, as well as our special guest up close and personal tonight, Mikey Sedano, director of the Amazon Prime film Cycles. If you have any questions or would like to weigh in, 917-889-3926 is the number. Make sure that you press 1 so the engineer knows that you want to weigh in. And Fee, you had a couple questions for Mike?
Yes, Mr. Sedano.
Yes.
I know you stated that, you know, a lot of men were affected by the movie. For you, was it more of a therapeutic thing while going through the movie, watching the characters go through the different layers and scenarios? Was it more of a purging for you, so to speak, while filming this?
That's a great question.
Yes, absolutely it was. When I originally voted, you know, I kept a little journal like most people do when, you know, when they in jail or whatever, you know, you write things about your life. So, you know, like I said, I started to write the script, and it's funny because when I wrote the script and then when I had auditions and actors came out to read the lines, you know, when I gave them their sides to read, you know, sides are the lines that they read when they're at the auditions. When I gave them their sides and they were reading their lines, and a lot of the lines that I gave them were, you know, true lines. You know, the dialogue was, you know, real words, real dialogue that was said during my marriage and things that I've heard from my parents. And when they were reading those lines, I was like, oh, damn. You know, like, it just hit me a different way. And the crazy thing is, my ex-wife, you know, her and I, you know, we're very good friends now. We have a beautiful, you know, 21-year-old daughter who actually lives with me here now. She came out to the audition, and when she read the lines, we looked at each other because one of the lines that she read were lines that were said during one of our arguments. So,
oh man,
it was just a weird feeling. Like, damn, dude, we just went back to 2007. You know, whenever the year was, 2005, and when she read those lines, you know, we both looked at each other afterwards and were like, wow, you know, can't believe we, you know, we're here now and where we were then.
Right.
So it was just a weird feeling. But, yeah, it was very therapeutic. And further, you know, to further answer your question, when I did these speaking engagements after I shot the short film and people were calling me to you know, to make appearances, I didn't watch that movie. I didn't watch my own movie for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I played it at all these venues, but once, you know, my partner's always with me was my friend Jay Johnson, Tony Ware, Kwame Rakes, Alex Leith, and Michael Amell. You know, they, one of them or two of them, all of them would come with me to the speaking engagement. So, they made their introductions, I spoke, said who I am, and then I leave. And once they press play, I walk out the door. And I couldn't watch the movie for years. I didn't watch my movie for years. And, you know, they would call me once the movie is over, or I would time it, you know, 30 minutes. I walk back in the room and, you know, answer questions or whatever. But to see the movie, you know, I wrote it, produced it, directed it, saw the scenes, edited. And, that was it. You know, never
issue,
saw it again.
What was the issue? What was your issue watching it?
Yeah.
It was just too much every time watching it over and over again. You know, I just couldn't see certain scenes anymore. You know, I didn't want to relive it. It was like reliving it again and again and again.
Yep.
And I couldn't do it. You know, I mean, I cry when I talk about it. So watching it, you know, it was just too much for me. And it took years to, you know, to watch it again.
I think it would hit differently in the production of it as a director, because you're looking at it from a director's eye. You know, you're not looking at it from the perspective of the person that you want to watch the film.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it was tough.
Can I ask this regarding your personal situation? Right. I mean, there are people listening. There are people who will listen, and who will absolutely be able to relate to a domestic violent situation, probably like right now in real time. You talked about, you know, that being a part of your own marriage. What was the breaking point? How did you turn that around? I mean, did you let that situation go? Are you still married today? What was the tipping point for you?
Okay. Well, in my personal marriage, you know, I speak in the movie about the different or many forms of abuse. You know, there's mental abuse, there's verbal abuse, there's financial abuse, and, of course, physical abuse. Verbal abuse was something that I was very guilty of. So I portray in the film my personal, you know, incidences that happened during my marriage. Although it wasn't physical abuse, I still made myself accountable for my actions, which were, you know, a lot of verbal and mental abuse. So, you know, I let people know, you know, sometimes that's worse than the physical abuse, because
absolutely,
you know, you can beat somebody,
indeed,
and the scars will eventually fade away, but mental and verbal abuse sometimes sticks with you for a very long time.
Forever.
You know, it sticks with you for a very long time. Now, you know, I don't usually mention what got me to that level, because there were things that happened, but it doesn't matter what happened in the marriage, whether, you know, your wife or you were caught cheating or whatever happened, you have to learn to accept the you know, responsibility for your own action and take responsibility for it. And that's what, you know, I learned to do. You know, it doesn't matter what I saw, what I read or anything like that. You have to, you know, react a certain type of way, no matter what it is. You have to be accountable and learn to, you know, learn to deal with it a
different
way.
But what was that tipping point of accountability for you? I mean, just to clarify the question, you mean you certainly put it out there, but what was that tipping point of accountability for you?
When I found myself in a position where I wanted to hurt her, physically harm her, I knew at that point that I had to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I didn't want to take it to that level. You know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, I was a you know, kind of a violent person being young. You know, a lot of people in college didn't know, because, you know, I was, you know, I was a little baby face Mikey at the time, but, you know, outside of just behind a smile, you know, in the streets things were different, you know. So you know, I acted a different type, you know, different way a lot of times. You know, you can't tell, but everybody has their tipping point. You know, everybody has their tipping point.
Yeah,
and I certainly had my anger management. Yeah, yeah, I certainly had my, you know, my buttons or my tipping point. And I had to take control of it. And when I saw myself losing control, or that I was going to go beyond a certain point where there was no, you know, point of no return, I was like, yo, I got to be careful and turn myself in or do something. You know, when there was an incident where I broke into somebody's house with a pistol and well, ready to pistol whip, and I caught myself, you know, and I was like, yo, I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life if I pull this trigger, you know. So I knew at that point,
yeah,
I had to change, make a big change in my life, you know. And, you know, I guess if you want to say that was the tipping point, you know, that was, I guess, the tipping point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, you certainly got to go back and check out the top of the show. We are hanging out tonight with our special guest, Mikey Sedano. So I've been calling you producer all night. So you are the director, not the producer of the film.
No, it's both writer, producer, and director.
Want to make sure director and producer Cycle. Cycle is a film about domestic violence, and just want to pause right now for anyone who may find themselves in a domestic violence situation or know someone. Listen, there is help for you and your loved ones. I mean, please feel free. You can log on to the hotline.org for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. There's a website, thehotline.org, or you can just dial an 800 number, which is 1-800-799-7233. This line is for anyone who's a victim, a survivor, or you just need to talk to someone specific to domestic violence. Again, you can log on to thehotline.org, or you can call 1-800-799-7233. I just want to say to you, hats off. Hats off for not just the quality film with quality people, but, I mean, this was clearly a passion project for you. And
yes,
I think a very sensitive project that I'm not sure, and I know a lot of independent filmmakers. I'm in Atlanta, so clearly, right? It's the new Hollywood. I'm not sure I know a lot of people who's willing to touch such a topic.
Yeah, to take on something so
taboo.
And so
I commend you on the work. It's very taboo.
Thank you.
Very taboo. But we need more films like this.
Yeah.
We need the truth in our face because
absolutely,
it's the truth that sets us free, right? And clearly, you are free of whatever your past consisted of. You've embraced it and you've moved on. And clearly this work is evident of that. And so again, just hats off to you for helping us.
Thank you.
With this film.
Yeah, and like I said, it is taboo. You know, while shopping the film for distribution, I had a lot of offers, but there was a lot of people that didn't want to touch it. And it's crazy because they say it's too real. It's too real. And I'm like, well, everybody talks about keeping it real. And then when you keep it real, they don't want it that real. You know,
right.
And I'm like,
that's
well,
right.
Do you want it real or you don't want it real? What do you want? You know, so what I decided to do is just do it my way, myself, independently. Because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to make it the way other people wanted me to make it. You know, I wanted to make it as real as possible. Because when you talk about this, this is not something that you candy coat. You know, this isn't something that you candy coat.
Right.
And you know, it's so real that during the premiere, because I had a premiere here in Norfolk, Virginia, in a venue called Nauticus. They had
a movie theater. Well.
You know the Nauticus?
Well.
Okay, yeah. So
you
I had it at the Nauticus, and it seats over 350 people, and we had to turn people away because it completely, you know, sold out, and we had to turn people away. But while the movie was going on, there were people walking out of the theater crying outside of the theater. You know, like they had to leave and they were outside talking to some advocates of, you know, the, you know, Transitions, which was a domestic violence shelter, an organization here in Virginia, in Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent two representatives there so people can, you know, ask them questions if they need to. And people
awesome
were talking
idea.
To them. Yeah, I always try to bring at least one person with me, And so they had they were there talking to a couple of people that walked out because they just started to break down crying while the movie was going on. So
I mean,
it happens every time I screen the film. Every time I screen the film.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those. It's definitely one of those films that is going to take you there if you've been there. So
yeah,
it's going to be therapeutic whether you want it to or not, really.
Oh, you know what else? I keep talking about the men and adults that it affects, but I have a friend who's a social worker, and she works with first graders, second graders, and kindergartners, right? You know, little young kids. She
mm-hmm.
showed the short version of the film to some, you know, some of her clients, some little kids. And do you know these kids, multiple kids, said to her, because she told me, she said, oh, I see my dad do that to my mom. Or one of them said,
yeah.
That's why I'm living with my grandmother. My dad did that to my mom. Like,
these
are little kids. And, you know, the statistics show that over 1.5 million kids each year are witness to a violent attack on a, usually on their mom. But that's a national
uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
why this,
yeah,
this film is
all
so
ages,
important.
All ages.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It impacts us all. I mean, truly impacts us all.
And,
ladies and gentlemen,
you know,
if you have not already figured it out, again, we've told you several times tonight to go to Amazon Prime. And just Amazon, period, whether you have Prime or not, this is a movie you certainly want to check out. It's called Cycle,
yeah.
Produced and directed by our special guest tonight, NSU alumni, Mikey
right.
Sedano. Folks, I mean, man. You can't
prepare
watch
yourself
a film
before
like
you
this
watch it.
And not, yeah, you can't watch a film like this and not reflect.
Yeah,
you know,
or be touched
even,
in some way.
You know, even
if
you've never
you,
been in a domestic situation, watching this film will help you to realize how close you were from one if you weren't in one
yeah.
yourself. Right. I mean, because
right.
at the end of the day, it's really about uncontrolled emotions, my friends, whether you are a man or a woman. It's uncontrolled emotions that bring about domestic violence. And, you know, one thing that Mikey said is that over time he walked away. He walked away before it got worse. And that's the advice tonight across the board. You know, whether you are an abuser or you're being abused, you have to get to a point where you need to walk away before it gets worse.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's the end.
Yeah. And one of the things that I tried to change here in Virginia, you know, unsuccessful. Virginia has a class that you have to take, a court mandated class for. People who have violated, you know, or been charged with domestic violence, whether they're, you know, male or female. And
uh-huh.
it's only, I believe, 12 weeks in the state of Virginia. When I took my classes, I had to take it in New York City because I moved to back to Brooklyn. It's 26 weeks in New York. And in Virginia, it's only 12 weeks. And in the state of Massachusetts, because I was also working in Massachusetts, so I was, you know, I was in Boston, then I would fly every Wednesday to back to Brooklyn down in Fulton Street in downtown and take the class there near the courts. And I would fly there and then fly back to Boston, if not stay the night. But I didn't want to take it in Boston because it's 52 weeks that you have to take this class. It's a whole year. In New York City is half a year, 6 months, but Virginia only has it for 12 weeks. And the reason I bring this up, that number, because it's so important to me that I took the class for 26 weeks and I said, there's no way in the world that a 12-week class is going to change somebody.
Uh-huh.
A 26-week class may not change someone, but, you know, if you don't want to change, the change has to come from within you. If you really want to change, you'll change. But 12 weeks,
great.
I just found it to be way too short, you know, and I'm like, you know, how much importance are they placing on these classes? How serious are they about rehabbing these people with 12-week class?
Right.
You know, And I just don't think it's enough. But I do believe that if you're in that position, whether you know, if you're the abuser, I'm speaking to people who are abusers, it's very beneficial for you to take this class, because you have to find people who are around, you know, who have the common issues that you have, to talk about it and bring yourself up to, you know, a level where you accept who you are, what you've done, and accept responsibility and accountability for what you have done, and change from there, because you can change. You know, a lot of people think that you can't, but you can. You know, you can. It's hard, it takes work, but you can.
Responsibility. The accountability piece is what I find to be most difficult, because I just don't know a whole lot of abusers who accept the fact, right, that they're abusers.
Mm-hmm. No, because they always say, well, it's her fault or it's his fault.
Right.
They know
she made me
what
do
to
it.
Say.
Yeah.
They pushed
right.
my buttons. They
do
my
it.
Buttons. They made
right.
me do it. They made me do it. Why did you know?
Right.
Now, you know, with my girlfriend I have now, when we get into arguments, we don't get into many, but if we do, like, you know, most couples do, man, listen, I will walk away and have you talking to yourself and you'll be pissed off. But I walk away. I ain't gonna lie. I leave you talking
Absolutely.
Right to yourself.
That's
it's
my
better
style.
That way.
And I've done
that's
it.
My style.
I
Absolutely.
Walk away.
Yeah.
I walk right away.
Eventually,
you crazy on the
you
phone.
Have to address
I hang up
it.
On you.
But let it, let
and
it
address
go.
It later
let
when
the
karma heads prevail.
Itself. Yeah.
Right. Karma
yeah.
heads prevail. You come back later. Talk about it later.
Right.
Just want to
yeah.
flip the script just a little bit. You mentioned earlier that you had worked on a few films. I think you mentioned Legend. And you mentioned another
Gangster.
Film, American Gangster.
Right, American
right?
Gangster. Mm-hmm.
Right. Elaborate a little bit.
Yeah.
Elaborate a little bit on that. Right. What got you on those projects? Because what I want you to do is to share with our audience. I mean, we have tons of folks who have messages and projects that they're trying to get out there. Want to talk about mm-hmm. your overall skill set, clearly director, producer, but mm-hmm. what was the entry-level position into the industry that got you to this point?
Okay, great question. Well, when I was, young kid, about 10, 11 years old, my older cousins, you know, my cousin Raul, Joe, Ralphie, you know, all from Brooklyn, we would all make little home movies, you know, the big video cameras and stuff. We would all make our skits. So, you know, we were always playing with cameras and creating skits and recording skits. So when I got into college, I was a writer. So, you know, I wrote for a couple of people. You know, and most people in Norfolk State didn't know what I was doing outside of school. But I was mm-hmm. always trying to get into the entertainment business, whether it was writing for somebody or for myself or for local artists in the area, you know, music videos. So my cousin Joe in Brooklyn, he attended film school. I went to Norfolk State for marketing. I was a business major. But, you know, a couple of times I went to film school as well when I was in Brooklyn. But, you know, I always laugh and tell people, you know, I didn't actually go to film school or paid for it. You know, he went. But, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes when you go to college, you know, you could go into a classroom and a teacher doesn't know whether you
right.
were there or not paying tuition.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I snuck in class and just sat down, took notes, learned, read a lot of books.
Why
I learned in film school, you know, so, you know, that was my film school and, you know, learning by fire. You know, one of the first movies I worked on was a movie called Marcy X with Damian Wayans that was shot, you know, in Manhattan. So I was always, you know, interested in that, mainly behind the scenes. My cousin Joe took me under his wing. We worked on a lot of projects together. We worked in Miramax in Manhattan for a long time. And the crazy thing is the same thing we did there. We were working there at night, and we weren't on their payroll because one of our friends gave us the keys. So we were there so long for like over a year that people thought we actually worked there, but we were just there every night, you know, writing and talking to people. And we even went to their rap parties. Like, we actually spoke and met, you know, the Weinstein brothers. You know, it's crazy, but it's a true story. And we were there, like I said, so long that people thought we actually were part of their staff, but we weren't. We were just there every night because our friend gave us a key. Mm-hmm. So when I got to Virginia, you know, I continued trying to work on movies. I had to stop because I was here in Virginia and nothing was happening in Virginia. So once I graduated college, like I said, I got into some trouble, you know, got married, went back and forth to Brooklyn. And then the way I got into American Gangster, that was the first job I had in 2006. That was the first movie I worked on in years. So I moved back to Brooklyn, worked on American Gangster on set as a set designer. I was
gotcha,
a set designer
gotcha.
On there. So I worked mainly set design, and then I moved on to props on other films. But working on American Gangster, you know, helped me out a lot because I worked alongside Ridley Scott, and I saw what he was doing and what a lot of the crew were doing. So I learned a lot of background stuff that needed to be done. And, you know, I went on to, you know, work on Born Ultimatum and Baby Mama and a movie called 100 Feet. Now, 100 Feet was the first movie that I worked on where I was the on-set, which is the guy that runs the set design department for that film that does, you know, the set designing work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time I was on-set. So I was kind of like the... you know, like the authoritative figure for, you know, for that scene, you know, for that set and that movie. You know, the movie was shot here in the United States and overseas, but while, you know, in one location, I was, you know, I was the one that they came to make sure things were done. So I learned a lot of background stuff there. And, you know, at that point, I wanted to finally shoot my own film. And I saw, like I said, I shot a couple of music videos, and then I shot a short film, then another, and then after four short films, I decided that, you know, it was time for me to move on to a full feature film, and that's what I ultimately did a few years ago, shoot my first full feature film.
Folks, did you hear that?
Your question?
It's called a process.
Uh-huh.
Trust the process, my friends. Nothing happens overnight. He volunteered. He spent wee hours, right? I mean, learning his craft, learning people, learning the environment. But what we heard mostly, volunteer.
Not working, right.
Your skill set. Yeah. It's called create value first. Trust the process, my friends. And we all need
to learn
a
lot of it. You got to study it.
We all need friends with keys, my friends. We all need friends with keys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, brother,
but yeah, it's true.
We are oh so proud of you as alumni, but more proud of this message and this film that is clearly a beacon, you know, that people need to pay attention to. So you're welcome to come back here anytime. You know, you have a project or you want to talk about something, man. You know, this is certainly your home. So we appreciate
you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
We are your friends with the keys.
You're my friends
indeed.
With the keys, all right? Make sure we do this again after my next film. Let's do this again.
Oh, let's do it
absolutely.
Before the
we
film
right
to promote it before you do it.
Well, we
most
want to be at the premiere
absolutely.
For the next one. We want to be at the premiere, specifically if it's at Nauticus.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
No matter where it
that's
is.
That's the goal, then. Absolutely.
I agree, Regina, regardless of where it is, we want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, hopefully we'll have a screening in Atlanta. How about that?
You know what? You
hey,
beat
well,
me
that,
to
that
it.
Works.
I was
we can
just
help
about
that.
To say that. We sure can.
Absolutely. We can help you with that. I can't let you get out of here, Mikey, without asking you about our current state here in the U.S. We have a president that is in the midst of impeachment hearings.
Right.
Can you see in your crystal ball how this is going to go? Is this a bunch of bullshit, or are we on to something here?
Yeah, we are onto something, but I don't think anything is going to really happen. I think it's going to be a long process where they always delay stuff for months and months. Before you know it, there will be, you know, next year's election. And right before the next president is sworn in, you know, that's what's going to be the outcome. I mean, I hope that I'm wrong. I hope my crystal ball is wrong. But I don't see, the current president getting off.
You just said something that I agree with, though. You said when the next president is sworn in. So I'm going to take that as what you see in your crystal ball, and I'm good enough with
right.
that right there.
You're good enough with that? Okay,
well,
that's good.
Sworn in.
My question is, he's not eligible for re-election if he is being impeached, right?
That's
no,
not
he can't
true.
Continue
that's
to run
not
for re-election.
It does
going
not,
to
the impeachment does not prevent him from going on.
Yep. Oh, no.
But there still hasn't even been a final ruling that anyway.
Right, point, right? It's stretched out, right? I mean, the final to-do with this whole thing really won't – the gauntlet really won't swing until the election is probably done next year. Right. So, I mean,
right.
hopefully the constituents is going to take care of the situation so that the impeachment hearings, if they don't, get it all the way done, we can still seal the deal as voters. Folks, get up, get out and vote. Hey, Mikey, we appreciate
it. And if you're not
vote.
Registered, get registered, please.
Please get
Where
registered.
Where is she? She's still on?
She is.
Is she there?
I am. I'm
okay,
here.
All right. Okay, all right. Did I answer your question? Because I know you asked me a question, and I just wanted to make sure I answered it. Okay,
you did.
Okay.
You answered it. You
okay,
did. I appreciate it.
She is in the background cooking up delectables, during.
Oh, that's what she's doing back there. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, Chef C. All right.
Yes,
yeah, that is I.
Well, y'all know she's here Wednesday, 9 p.m. We got Fee. Plus, we got a special guest, Hell Vell. He got that new joint differently. Hell just finished the new video. I don't know if we're going to do a premiere for the video Wednesday or not, but folks, come back. Check us out Wednesday, 9 p.m. Again, our special guest tonight, Mikey Sedano. Hey, the movie is Psycho, Amazon. Check it out. Ladies, let's get out of here.
All right. It has been real. I appreciate you, Mr. Sedano, and your craft and all that good stuff. But you guys, be real. Have a great, great remainder of the week. Well, I'll catch you back on Wednesday while I'll be cooking up something for Turkey Day. So stay tuned. Hot chocolate.
No doubt.
Al Turkey Day. Miguelito, thank you again for joining us. NSU, behold, we support our own. And
no doubt.
I am proud to be back again in the T.M. Hyman Radio House to say we are that crew, that team, and that network. T.M. Hyman Radio in the Social Lab for the general, myself, Hot Chocolate, and Fee, as well as our special guest tonight, Mikey Sedano. Everybody have a great night, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Night.
Sorry. It's all that you can say.
First told me I should've let go, but you were so good, turn me klepto. See you stealing every moment I could get though. Let's go, let me put you on to the best though. Then I caught you out here with Ashley, Maddie. Everybody know that she nasty. I'ma keep it classy, walk right past me. You already know how many wish they could've had me.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. I just need one more shot, have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. And by once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times. So let me redeem or redeem on myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot, take a chance.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM, CM, Hyman live. CM,